He can't catch fish. He can't catch fish. He can't catch fish.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and also in studio, but a little bit south of us here, is Mike the Grizz Ritz from Adventures South of the Border. And I don't know where Catherine is because she's a world-traveling angler, but we're going to be talking to Catherine from What a Catch. And let's talk a little bit about lady anglers and what Catherine is up to. Do you mind, Catherine?
Well, good afternoon. I'm actually back in Canada. Last time we spoke, I was in Bermuda.
I remember that. Now you're up in the cold land.
I'm up in the cold land, but, you know, thanks to global warming, it's like a summer day here.
Okay.
They haven't had snow in about 3 months. It's beautiful and sunny.
Oh, you got your accent back
again. I was just going to say, eh?
Well, Lord, Tundra, and Jesus, bye. Tell me where you're at, and I'll come where you're to. That's what we say on the East Coast.
Okay. Catherine, give us a little bit of a background for those that did not catch you last time we were on about what you're up to, what you do. And again, you know, we really appreciate the what's been happening in the industry, you know, with the especially with the lady anglers becoming more and more involved.
Well, thanks. What I do is I spend as much time as I can on the water, and I think you're seeing more and more women on the water these days. I guess fly fishing and fishing is the new golf, and so business deals are happening on the water, and more women are fishing, and I think that's a very good thing. I think the baby boomers are also taking their significant others out with them, and they know they'll do more fishing that way if they do that. And we live in such a global society now that there are many waters to fish, and my worry is that I'll run out of time before I get to fish all the places that I want to fish.
Okay.
I haven't fished in the Baja yet.
Oh.
Well, I'm sitting here right now in the studio thinking, come on down, come on down. You can do that tomorrow.
That.
Just get on the plane, and I'll pick you up at the airport, and we'll go fishing.
Well, you know what I want to catch?
No, I don't.
I want to catch a rooster fish.
Well, the rooster fish, baby, let me tell you something. Wait a while on the rooster fish. The water is only right at 70 degrees. We need to get that up to about 78 to 80 degrees for the big roosters. You can, my darling, catch rooster fish right now, but they're only 30, 40 pounds the biggest.
Oh, well, shoot. Although I did pull my back out lifting my purse out of the car when I was getting out of the car today. You know, I can haul on a big fish, you know, big sailfish on the fly or a GT, but then I go to lift my purse and I pulled my back out. But anyway.
What do you got in that purse, dear?
Oh, what don't I have in there? You know, a woman's purse. I have fishing flies, and I have lipstick, and everything else in between.
And what's the biggest, the lipstick or the flies?
Well, I've got some pretty big flies. I've got this the Chernobyl squirrel that
that's a nice fly.
Yeah, when I was fishing in Mongolia, and this thing has a bunny tail, and it's quite big, and it's got a great surface action. So it rivals, my lipstick isn't even close to that. My lipstick is a third the size of this thing.
Catherine, would you mind telling us a little bit about fishing in Mongolia?
Well, Mongolia, a lot of the fishing I do, I'm interested in these places not just because of the exotic species that you find in these places, but because of the culture and the people that you'll meet on the trip. I think, you know, I'm not into numbers. I'm into who you're going to spend the day with and the overall experience. What's really impressive in Mongolia, over and above a great trout fishery, is they have a taimen. And a taimen is the world's largest salmonid.
Hmm.
And I caught the biggest fish of the summer. It's not a fishing story. It's the truth. I was fishing frog water. We weren't expecting to find a fish in this area. And I think because people didn't throw flies in that area, the fish were hanging out, and I caught this monster. It was longer than I am, and it's a wonderful memory. And so they let me name the pool, and I named it Ginger Snap Eddie after a dog that I was feeding ginger snaps to all week.
Okay, now what was the name of that fish that you said it was?
a taimen. Some people call them taimen, taimen.
Oh,
tomato,
it's the sea.
Tomato.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're magnificent, and they're very impressive. They look between the cross of a, I would say, a brown trout and an Atlantic salmon with their markings and their coloring. But what they're known for is their prolific surface takes. They it's just white water. So you'll be casting, and sort of like that game, Who Sunk My Battleship, you just cast out and cover a lot of water. And these things will leave their lie, and they'll go great distances and come up out of the water and come down on the fly, and they're magnificent.
Hmm. Now, when you're in Mongolia, I'm kind of curious. Do you are there many sport fishing anglers in Mongolia?
There are, and there's actually a Mongolian fly fishing guide there now, thanks to Frontier, I think it's Sweetwater Travel or Frontiers. I'm not sure which of the outfitters started in there. I just can't remember now. But the locals are meat eaters. They're not into fishing, but they watch us, all these sports fishermen, come in, and so now they're starting to take it up as a recreation, but they're real meat eaters.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so interesting is, you know, each meal is a mystery meat of a variety of, you know, not a lot of vegetables, actually, no vegetables, not a lot of fish, but it's just all meat.
The next door neighbor.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. I think they're peaceful people. Genghis Khan and the great warriors, that's a time gone by, but they're great horsemen, and you'll see lots of horses as you're fishing the river. They're beautiful.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Said in a lot of areas, like what you're talking about, is that people for for centuries, you know, the reason you go fishing is to catch fish to put on the table, and the idea of catching fish and letting them go, you know, they may go, what are you doing that for?
And that's absolutely the case. And actually, I was rescued by a Mongol local on horseback because, of course, I was wading out a little too deep. I'm a bit of a peanut. I'm just over 5 feet tall. And so the fish are always a little bit further away, and I end up going out in the river further than I really should. And this particular day, I did that. And, of course, I could feel the gravel going out from under my boots, and I started floating downriver. And this Mongol, this local, had been watching me from the tree line. I hadn't even known he was there. It's a good thing I didn't have a pee during the day because I had no idea. But anyway, that's another story.
And yeah, let's not go there.
He came riding out on his horse, charging into the water, and grabbed me by the back of my life jacket and saved my life. And all he wanted for saving my life was a can of Coca-Cola. Now, we couldn't speak the same language, but he said Coca-Cola because he knew the fishermen come with these thermoses and they have Coca-Cola. So that's all he wanted.
Are you sure he was wanting Coca-Cola or another kind of Coke?
No,
Coca-Cola.
I'm just playing.
But that was all right because I have an older brother that tried to trade me for 7 camels. So I thought a Coca-Cola was a better way to go.
There you go.
Yeah, you got that right.
Catherine, that sounds so exciting. Just we don't have a lot of time left. Just kind of a quick overview of what you're doing and how to get in touch with you and your radio television show and that stuff.
Yeah, well, whatacatch.net. Come chat with me on Facebook. And it's just traveling around the world, and I care about conservation, catch and release. And make sure you wear your bug spray. Bugs can give you diseases. Just protect yourself.
Yeah, we understand that you had a problem with that you're just finally getting over. So especially when you travel the world like you do. But so it's whatacatch.com?
Net.
Dot net.
Whatacatch.net. You catch a fish in a net.
There you go. Okay, Catherine, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you with us, and obviously we're going to be talking to you again.
And come on down here and fish with me.
Yeah, let's go to Baja. It's about time, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, but not for the big roosters.
Okay, no, not for the big roosters, but the water is warming up, so it's time to get down there.
Yeah, come on down, Catherine. You're welcome. You're my guest.
Okay.
Leave me one more there.
Okay,
baby.
Alrighty, you're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz, Mike from ASOBOnline.com.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort, the Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja, on the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
There in the water, look at him shine. There goes a big one, that one of mine. Play out my reel now, just how I feel now. Look to my fly rod, I got me a trout.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and in our other studio down in La Paz, we have Mike Ritz, a.k.a. The Grizz, on Adventures South of the Border. Right now, we're going to go to California to talk to the lovely Chelsea that works at Lake San Antone and Nacimiento, and I promise you one of these days we're going to give a prize, anybody that can spell Nacimiento on the first try. We're gonna give you a prize. Anyway, let's find out a little bit about where it is and what it is, Chelsea.
Hi, John.
Hi.
That's the Grizz.
That's me. Yeah.
Oh, just kidding. Hello, Grizz.
Hi. How you doing, Grizz?
Well, Grizz was telling
us. How are you?
Grizz was telling us that the water temperature down there is cold. It's down around 70. It needs to come up another 10 degrees for things to get good. But you are located in, I guess, at Central California?
Yep, Central California. It's northwest of Paso Robles, about 25 minutes out of Paso. So, you know, just off the freeway, short little drive up. The lakes are 20 minutes apart from each other. They're huge. Nacimiento is 18 miles long, and San Antonio is 16 miles long, mm-hmm. with phenomenal fishing in both lakes. Nacimiento's white bass is really starting to pick up recently. We've had a few anglers saying that they've been starting to catch some of the white bass.
Well, Chelsea, give us a little bit of an idea, because not everybody may know what white bass is. And I know that that's something, you know, certainly particular to where you are. I know they're a lot of fun to catch. But kind of describe that, and there's also, instead of, I could be wrong, but instead of a bag limit, you're not allowed to throw them back. Is that right?
That's correct.
So why don't you explain that?
We have so many of them that we do not want you to throw them back in the water.
Grizz, I'm sure that is going to break your heart, because you catch and release.
Well, you're turning out to be killers.
I know.
Kill them all. Let's get them and throw bombs and destroy them all.
Hey,
no, I understand.
Not 100%. My call.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's becoming an overpopulation, and they're in direct competition with the other species, as in largemouth. They just produce incredibly amount. It's our fault as humans to put them into places we shouldn't have put them in. Now we got them there. Now we need to get them out. How do you do that? Catch as many as you can and stomp on their heads.
Oh, Grizz.
Well, that way you don't suffer. I mean, a fish flopping around the bottom of your boat. I mean, knock him in the head so he doesn't suffer.
Richard, do you have a button you can turn him off with?
Anyway,
Chelsea, we really appreciate that. But they are a lot of fun to catch, aren't they?
They are a lot of fun to catch, yes. I've personally caught some. They're great fish to catch.
And
so,
you
do
have other...
them out of the lake.
Right. Well, of course, all bass eat trout, so your chances of catching trout are not real good up at Nacimiento in San Antone, right?
Definitely not. So we do not have any trout. We've actually had a few people catching them recently, so they've somehow made their way down the stream, and... Mm-hmm. We've actually, yeah, this past weekend, I've heard of two different anglers that caught, rainbow trout mm-hmm. in the Narrows. So they're definitely there, but, yeah, if one gets down, that white bass is mm-hmm. snatch them up fast.
Well, Chelsea, we're talking about white bass, which is kind of a unique thing. And, you know, aside from what the Grizz said, is that table fare, the white bass?
Is what? I'm sorry.
Is it table fare?
Not recommended.
Okay.
Excuse me for butting in, but we had them smoked, and they did turn out pretty good.
Just a lot of bones.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the number one problem with the white bass, and they're so bony.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And Chelsea, also, aside from the tremendous bass fishery of different types, and this is both the San Antonio and Nacimiento, is that correct? Okay. There's also a lot of facilities. You said it's 16 miles, 18 miles with a,
yeah,
you know, who knows how many miles of waterfront there is, but there's also a lot of facilities there, especially at Nacimiento. Can you describe those real quick?
Yeah, definitely. Nacimiento has 19 beautiful lodges. They're all overlooking the lake. If you rent one of the lodges, you get a free boat slip in our brand-new 100-slip marina. We also have our general store. We have a restaurant. This is all in the campground area. So it's one place with, you know, whatever kind of camping you want to do, tent camping, full hookups. We rent out trailers. You know, if you aren't into camping, we have our lodges and yeah, lots of different things for every type of person who, you know, is into camping or not so much into camping.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, actually, in the summertime, it's tremendous water sports. You've got ski boats, and these are the kind of boats that people put these huge, you know, 454, 600 horsepower. And they're zooming across the lake because it's a big lake and it's good for everything.
It's a big lake with a lot of really long arms, mm-hmm. so you can always find smooth water. You know, we have phenomenal water skiing and wakeboarding all the time. In the middle of the summer, you can find smooth water all day long.
Chelsea, you've done a tremendous job. Grizz, what do you think? Is she awesome or what?
100%. She's great. She's got a beautiful voice, and what she's talking about is recommended for everybody. Can you imagine being there looking over the lake, the trees, and everything? Bring your family there with her. Give her a call and enjoy yourself.
Speaking of that, Chelsea, how do we get in touch with you?
Probably the best way is go to our website, and again, if you can spell it, you get a prize, right?
Yes, that's right.
So it's NacimientoResort.com. Our phone number is there. The best way to get in touch with me is probably to call our reservations, and they'll hook you up with me.
Okay.
And if you want to come out for the weekend, just get in touch. We'll give you some
stuff. I'm going to do that someday. I'm going to surprise you and show up.
Well, actually, we might surprise you before that. I think, Grizz, we're going to get you to come up there in May with the Outdoor Writers Association, but we'll talk about that later. Right now, Chelsea, thank you very much. Right now, we're going to talk to Marty Golden and get some information about the NOAA. And Marty, are you on the line?
Hello. How are you doing?
Patrick.
Yeah, it's a great day here, and it's good to be talking to you again, John.
And I don't count. I'm the Grizz. You're supposed to say it's nice talking to me, too.
Okay, you count.
All right, thank you. Tell us about what's happening.
Well, National Marine Fisheries Service is part of NOAA, and we have just recently issued our most recent version of our action plan. And each region in the country has its own action plan to talk about what we're going to do to work with the angling groups around the country to enhance recreational fishing programs. These programs are our action plans are focused on improving fishing opportunities, improving catch, working on socioeconomic information, and improving communications. A lot of folks haven't really paid much attention to economics, but many of the angling communities around the country, or angling groups, want more economic data. With economic data about the importance of recreational fishing, we are in better positions to argue our points for stronger greater allocation.
You know, that's absolutely right. I mean, you think about it. A guy comes out, he's got to buy gasoline for his boat, or if he goes with a guide, they got to have gasoline. They've got to eat. They got to have a place to stay. When they have to have a place to stay, they got to have somebody clean the room, or in a restaurant, they had to have cook. Everything, even the little store on the corner, will sell a pack of cookies to somebody.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh,
the fishing industry is something that everybody benefits.
Yeah, just the saltwater fishing alone in the U.S. Typically results in over $50 billion, spelled with a B, billion in sales every year, and there's over 326,000-some-odd jobs. That's huge, just on saltwater.
Yeah, imagine that. And now, if you do that, I bet it's double or more of that for freshwater, because there's more lakes and streams and rivers throughout the United States than there are people fishing saltwater.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure exactly what the split is, but I would guess it's probably 80% fresh.
Imagine
and,
that.
20% salt. So, yeah, the freshwater, I think, dwarfs the saltwater in economic stuff. But the thing is that the saltwater is still a real significant part of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you know, that's basically what I do. Is probably 90% of my activity is saltwater fishing for the television show. So it's incredible. So it's time that everybody opens up their eyes and say, guys, this is not like a little hobby. This is a real big business.
Yeah, and what we ask, what I would ask, too, is right now, for the next 6 months or so, we've got some surveys that have been going on, and they've been going on for about 6 months, where we are surveying anglers around the country, saltwater anglers, on their economic expenditures and stuff like that. And we hope we get their cooperation whenever somebody contacts them, because the results of these surveys are very important to help us with this information.
Mm-hmm. Now, Marty, NOAA covers a lot of territory, doesn't it? I mean, we think of it, you know, the weather, the whole rest of it. It's a huge, huge thing. So if someone wants information, they go to the website, which would be?
Our website would be www.nmfs.noaa.gov.
Okay, we're going to have to go. Thank you, Marty. We appreciate you coming on and helping us out. Grizz, you stay tuned. We're going to be right back with you on Fish Talk Radio.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real-world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
Five fishing poles, one for every fish. Gonna get my dinner from the clear deep water.
You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Mike Ritz, a.k.a. The Grizz of Adventures South of the Border. And we're going to be getting a Baja report right now. And we're going to go to see if we can find a wolf down at Picante Fleet in the beautiful city of Cabo San Lucas in Baja, California. Sir, Wolf, you on the line?
I'm sure here. I'm just waiting to see what's happening.
Well,
you're supposed to be telling us what's happening. Don't start that.
Okay. I'll tell you what's happened. Well, as usual here in Cabo, the weather's beautiful. A little bit of a high overcast. fishing has been a real mixed bag. It's been sort of interesting because we're catching lots of different things. We're catching striped marlin, we're catching dorado, we're catching roosterfish, we're catching yellowtail, we're catching sharks, we're catching sierra. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff going on out here.
It's a mixed bag. You never know what's going to pull on your line.
You don't know, and that's sort of half the fun coming out here, you know. And the marlin fishing is picking up again. Lots of boats available. People, I don't know where the people are. I guess it's the spring breakers.
Yeah, well, they're out doing their thing, the spring breakers. You know how it is.
Wolf,
and then you got that big party going over in San Jose de Cabo. You know, there's tons of people going down to that right now. They're not fishing. They're all drinking.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, I don't know what's the matter with the people.
I'm sorry, Mike Wolf. Is the spring break starting to happen down there? I thought it was still a little bit early.
Yeah, it is. We've seen, as I look out the window, I see bikini cat going by. So that means something, because usually most people are usually dressed a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, this is Cabo that you're at, and I know where your office is, and I know looking out the window is right along the Malecon, and, you know, there's a parade going by constantly.
Yeah, you ought to see Mike when he puts on his bikini and starts chasing all those other bikinis.
Oh, there's a pretty sight.
Hey, let's talk about,
isn't it?
Let's talk about fishing for a minute, Wolf.
That's what he was talking about, but other kind of fishing.
No, not trolling, fishing. But anyway, it is the time of the year where, you know, things are changing. The water's starting to warm up. What is the water temperature now, Mike?
Water temps have been in the, let's see, we're in the high 60s, 70s. Let's see, there's some warmer water. I mean, mostly in the high, 69, 70 degrees, both sides of the peninsula.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding. Low 67, high about 69.5, something like that.
Yeah, we're just a tad bit warmer down here, but, you know, what's a degree or two?
I guess what sharks are you pulling now, Mike?
I think they were getting some makos, and I don't know. How did you do on your shark trip?
I did really good. I got white tip, I got mako, and I got hammerhead.
Well, there you go. So it's the sharks are around, that's for sure.
Wolf, this normally is the time of the year at the water temperature it is, you know, the great thing about Cabo San Lucas is it's always good. Sometimes it's better, but, you know, it depends on the kind of fish that are around. So this time of the year, I suspect that you're getting the Sierra mackerel close in. And then, of course, the yellowtail. Is there any of those around?
Yeah, they're catching yellowtail. And there's plenty of Sierra. And it was exciting. Last week we had two of our boats out. And right between the two boats out when they're out in the water, they had a big group of killer whales.
Oh, really?
Servicing right beside them. Yeah, like there's some, you know, 15 feet from the boat.
Mm-hmm. Orcas.
That was nice, I bet.
That was pretty exciting. The guys are pretty excited when they, you know, when they talked about that.
Well, that's worth the trip right there. You mean you don't catch a fish being that close to killers.
Yeah, well, Wolf, I have a question for you. Because fishing in Alaska, you know, there's a lot of whales and, of course, a lot of orcas. And the whales, of course, you know, they eat krill and, baleen, you know, kind of filter out what they eat. But the killer whales, they go after the fish, and they scare away the salmon. If there is an orca or killer whales around, does that affect the fishing?
Well, probably right around them, but, you know, there's so much water out there. I mean, you can get away from them.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to catch anything underneath them, are you, Mike?
Probably not.
Because they run on them. But did you see how John was playing with us using the big word orca and killer whales? He kept trying to confuse us.
I heard that, and I was going like, boy, John's getting pretty scientific.
Yeah, he looked us up in the dictionary before we got on so he could mess with our minds.
I didn't know they had orcas down there.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize, you know, it's the ocean, and that thing just cruise around.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there's things to eat, and they're here.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, Cabo San Lucas has got to be, you know, certainly the capital of striped marlin. And, you know, this isn't the time of the year for them, but are there any around?
Stripes? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Plenty. They're doing pretty good in the stripes. Some days we're averaging at least one a boat, and they're around. You know, as water warms up, we'll get a few more, and then we'll get into the blues later on in the summer, but blues and blacks. But, yeah, now it's good.
I think I don't know about you, Mike, but how do you think? I think that the striped marlin are residents that we have down there now. I don't think they ever go away. I think they just hang around.
Well, I think some do. They say the bigger ones are down near New Zealand. They say some of our fish come from California. And I guess when they get to be bigger, I think they probably take off after they get over pounds. They probably cruise around a little more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I caught one not too long ago that was a pretty good size one, and I think he came from New Zealand because he said bloody bait when I pulled him up. So, you know, with bloody that accent and stuff, I figure he came from down there.
All right. So, anyway, Mike Wolf, we appreciate that. And that is from the Picante Sport Fishing Lake, and the website is
www.picantesportfishing.com, or you can call us right here in our office in the marina at 714-442-0644.
Of course, you can always go to fishtalkradio.com and just click on where it says Picante Fleet. But we appreciate you coming in and joining with us today. And Grizz, just real quickly, what's happening over in the East Cape with Chucky with the Palmas de Cortez?
Everything is happening good over here. What there is a lot of is yellowtail, and I mean big yellowtail. We're talking about 45 pounds up to 60-pound yellowtail. Groupers, not so big, 25, 30-pound groupers, small stuff. Pargo or the snapper, good, up to 40-pound snapper. There are a few marlin hanging around here, there, and everywhere, but not that much. Mostly everybody's out fishing the bottom because it's the time of year, John, for those yellowtail, and the people really like to eat them.
Now, yellowtail, you say the bottom. I know I've fished for them before, and they're not usually on top like a Dorado. So would you yo-yo or, you know, what do you use to catch them?
You can yo-yo them if you want. Most people just tie on a big sardine and put it down about 80 feet, and it starts pulling, and you bring it up. And that way you'll pick up the snappers that way, also the groupers. You get, kind of get a mixed bag. Last week with the sharks, I was pulling in yellowtail, grouper. Charles pulled in some really nice snapper, and then we pulled in three species of shark also. So it's pretty interesting right now. You never know. It's like everybody's talking. You really don't know what you're going to get until you get it up where you can see it.
That's a great thing about Baja. And also, Grizz, we have Bob from Western Outdoor News that's kind of hanging around with us.
Hey there. How you doing?
We're doing good.
How you doing, Bob?
And Bob decided to call in because they said, hey, why don't you call in and talk to us? I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but, you know, we've been talking about Baja, and, of course, Bob knows a little bit about everything when it comes to fishing.
I do know a little bit about Baja, especially fly fishing it because, you know, that's my favorite. Mm-hmm. I love getting down there. Getting those Sierra, which are all over the place right now down there.
Oh, that'd be fun, huh?
But yeah, I did that last week. We caught like 30 of them in like an hour and a half on fly rod.
Yeah, it's a blast as long as you got the good wire leader on. But I tell you, the one thing you guys are making me totally jealous about as I was listening in was the weather that you're talking about. I'm heading north for my steelhead trip. And that means I'm going to be in blizzard conditions most every day. If it's not raining, it's going to be snowing.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bob writes for the Western Outdoor News. He's one of the staff writers, and you know they keep sending him all over the place to go fishing and write about it. So
it's a life, I got to tell you.
Yeah,
yeah, I know that feeling. I did that too. Still doing it. Mm-hmm. Since 1979, traveling all over the place, fishing and hunting.
Yeah,
it's horrible, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, well, you know somebody's got to do it.
Well, tell me.
We've got 13 charters this year that I'm doing for Western Outdoor News. Anybody interested can look at them at wonews.com. And they're all up and down the Southern California coast. But in addition to that, of course, you know, I get the pleasure of going out and fishing. I was going to tell you about my steelhead and coming up.
Okay.
Got five guys heading out for the steelhead trip of a lifetime. We're doing three rivers. We're fishing the Trinity, the Rogue, and the Applegate.
Wow.
Going to be fishing dawn to dark every day for 5 days. And then on the sixth day we rest, we're going to go fish over at Sugar Creek Ranch in Callahan, California, which is a place that's plugged full of rainbows, big rainbows.
Yeah, they got some, I fished that, man. They've got some up to 10, 15 pounds.
Absolutely. Mike Calpine runs a great operation there at Sugar Creek Ranch, and I love fishing with them.
Yeah, so. I think we've had him on, but we're going to do it some more.
He's a great fellow. So.
But, Bob, we're going to have to let you go real quick. We appreciate you checking in with us because we're coming
always
up to a
pleasure,
hard break.
Gentlemen.
But,
thank you, sir.
Bob, check in with Western Outdoor News, and Bob will keep you up to date as far as what's happening in the Grizz, of course, with Adventures South of the Border. And your website, Grizz, is asobonline.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, you are listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we certainly appreciate you tuning in with us, and we'll be back with you, of course.